Happy Monday, everybody. It's Monday, July 24th, 2023. Welcome to Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. My name is Larry Jacobs. Thank you so much for being here with me. Maybe you're listening on the archives, and you know we archive everything over at ace-ed.org, and that's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education. Go over there. You'll see our magazine, all of our podcasts, learn about our Excellence in Equity Awards. Everything we do is free over there for educators. So please just go over, check it all out. You'll enjoy it, okay? And you'll enjoy something else. That's today's show, okay? I've got Doug Roberts here, my old friend. He's the founder and CEO of the Institute for Education Innovation. I have it linked right up here on site. He connects leaders in school districts. This is really such a good thing they do, with ed tech companies to drive change in education. And he's the creator of the Superintendent's Choice Awards, which recognizes innovative ed tech solutions. All right, we're going to talk about their upcoming equity meeting. Sorry, Doug, I just lost that workshop. Thank you, I lost the word. Their upcoming equity workshop. All right, their group called IEI, Institute for Education Innovation Lead. Okay, and we're also going to talk about the Superintendent's Choice Award. So without further ado, let me bring on Doug, and I just want to remind everybody, if they want to get in touch with me, which a lot of people are doing these days, larry@ace-ed.org. Don't hesitate to write me with ideas, et cetera. I meant to say that before I introduced you, Doug. How you doing this morning? Yeah.
Good morning, Larry. How are you? Good to talk to you.
Okay, I'm all right. I'm good. We're slogging through summer here. Where were you today? Are you in New York? Long Island?
Summer in Maine, not a slog, my friend.
I know. It's nice up here. It's been perfect.
That's paradise.
I'm
home on Long Island. I've been good, away. We had our big summer institute last week with about 60 superintendents around the country. So good to be back home.
Where was it?
Sonoma, California.
That's hard to take.
Yeah, it's rough.
Speaking of beautiful places, you want to talk about that for a second? I know it's in the past, but
yeah, sure.
We can start there. Go ahead.
No, it was a really powerful week. Our theme for the year is creating empowered spaces to cultivate leadership, and we did that in so many ways. But I think, you know, one of my favorite sessions is always, we just do, it's sort of like an open mic, but, you know, during the day in a conference version. And we ask our members to just give us 5 minutes or less on something that's moving them, something they're proud of that they did in the last year, something that they're thinking about, or something, yeah, something powerful that they're working on. And we had everything from just inspirational stories about, you know, a time they gave Rick Cobb from Middell, Oklahoma, he gave a kid a chance to walk with the honor roll despite failing one class. And that kid came back, and it was a math class, and that kid went off to the military and came back and is a first-year teacher this year. And,
oh, wow. That's a great story.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
You have stuff like that, and then you have stories about strategies that Jeff Dace is using in Decatur, Illinois, to get kids mobilized and motivated around some of these things that usually adults only care about, like assessments and progress monitoring. And, you know, and then Barbara Mullen from Rush Henrietta, New York, talking about how she – the very intentional steps she took in the first few months to make sure she branded herself as a leader within the community, but also to build relationships and establish herself in a district in New York where she's not from, where she moved from Rhode Island. So it's, I don't know, there was just a lot of energy. And those of you who follow us on social too, we also have a little karaoke singing in our summer summit. So it's always a good time when the seats get there are no kids in classrooms, so they're able to really kind of unplug. A lot of them bring their families with them, and then they stick around a couple of days and enjoy wherever we are. So it's a great idea.
Hey,
yeah.
Doug,
we went on a big bike ride together. Wellness is big for us too.
What's the lion in the Lion King? You know, you're like Simba with the pride there. You know, you're enjoying the whole thing. It's incredible. Yeah. Well, you know, we hear a lot of talk, and I know there's 12,000 superintendents. We're talking about 60 of them, and these are the 60 are very active, good superintendents, as so many others are, probably couldn't make it. But I'm just curious, you know, we're hearing a lot about, it's a tough job these days, teacher retention, you know what's going on out there, all the politicalization, et cetera. Yeah. What was your takeaway from that, just from talking to the gang anecdotally, if I may? The simple question, how are superintendents viewing education these days?
Yeah, I think a lot of the themes this week were, you know, here's why I'm excited to stick around, but this is not easy. And, how do we basically, so we spent the week, our workshop goal this week was to sort of sharpen our skills around strategic planning. So how can we, you know, basically, if we're really good at building a strategic plan with our boards and leading the district through the implementation of that plan, the discussion and ratification of that plan with the public, then, you know, this political stuff is sort of like idle hands at the devil's playground, right? Like if we're not driving the district forward, if we're not working actively with our boards to put together a plan that makes sense for kids, and teaching it, we're the teaching and learning experts in those rooms. And if we're not able to put together a plan, you know, built with consensus from the entire cabinet and principals and teachers, et cetera, then we're going to have a harder time, and more people are going to kind of throw weird political things at us, because that means we're not moving in a direction. So we really broke it down into very small groups of four or five, and people could just kind of talk through what they're working on. And yeah, we workshopped,
sure.
we woodshedded everybody's strategic plan. So it was that kind of a practical session. And I think that's what we're clinging to, because I mean, while we were there, the super weird story came out from Florida that if I'm being honest, I'm pretty angry about, that they're writing into their state.
Oh,
right. Which one?
Okay.
And that's where we
one?
Are now. We got to ask which one.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the one that writes into the state standards that kids are to be taught that slavery was beneficial in some ways to the enslaved
people. Yes, it was. Many of them were blacksmiths. I heard that clip this morning. Yeah. So therefore, it really helped them find a great profession. Yeah, what a load of crap.
And so we're all together as this is being discussed, and there's a large state, influential state, preparing to write standards where teachers are supposed to teach this to kids. And we're supposed to, you know, like just smile and adopt that, you know, and it always happens when we're together that this stuff comes out, and that had some people pretty frustrated. And, you know, some of what happens at IEI stays at IEI, like part of what we do.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about like the evening fun stuff. I'm talking about,
I know what you're talking about. The comments. Yeah.
There are things that they need to say to each other that we need to listen to, aggregate, synthesize, remove from the individual so that we can say them in public. And, you know, we put out a statement yesterday and Sunday because it just got ridiculous how it was spinning around in the media. Like, I'm not going to be sitting there as the leader of a group of superintendents not reacting to the idea that state standards should talk about how great slavery was. It's just not, it's not what our values are. It's not what our mission is. So I would like to do more than just put out statements, and we're working on how we can do more. But anyway, it was that kind of a week where we're like, you know, let's focus on our planning work, and let's just be really good at our jobs. And then some of this other stuff may not matter as much, because in our room with our board and our public, you know, if they see us doing great work for kids, then a person's political ideology is going to matter a lot less.
Yeah. And we just got to get this together. I'm going to leave it at that. I watched that clip again today of DeSantis saying that impossible to understand comment. Okay. Then blames the Florida Department of Education. He blames them. Okay. Rather than himself. Well, it wasn't political. This was a group of scholars who put this together. So it's nauseating.
We believe we stand with teachers who want to teach the facts about what slavery was and was not. And that's it. It was an economic institution that benefited the people who owned the slaves. That's what it was.
That's right.
There's no way you can prove that there's anything but that. So that's what we want teachers to teach. And, you know, if a state is going to change that up, that's problematic. And we just hope that, I hope our colleagues in the industry are going to start to, you know, I'd like to see some of these companies just stand firm, especially those in the content and curriculum side of the business. Like,
I agree.
We're just not going to do that. And if your state doesn't want our stuff, that's fine. And we had to do the same thing
15
years ago with evolution, right? Like, if your state doesn't want to teach evolution, that's great. You should use someone else's curriculum that, because we teach science. So, you know, I'm not seeing an uproar from our industry yet and a refusal to do this kind of work. I see people, you know, I see the College Board revising how they're going to, you know, their AP African American Studies course so that they can work in a specific state. And, you know, that, just put it this way, that kind of, that sort of revision.
Kind of pandering, that kind of pandering, if I may.
Yeah, and that's not, you know, that we want partners, you know, we carefully vet all the partner companies we bring in here. And this is one of the things we vet for. We want to make sure that they are aligned with our mission and values.
Good man. And, you know, and on that note, thank you, Doug. They were great comments, and I couldn't agree with you more. You know, on that note, you know, you're vetting companies out there. And I think what you do, you know, over here, we believe in industry voice. Okay, the industry has a tremendous amount of importance to the education profession. A lot of people don't actually realize how important it is, but it's a symbiotic relationship between the industry, okay, and the educators. Okay, and a lot of the people in the industry are educators, but it's a different outlook on things. All right, and it's just so darn important. And, you know, you put this together, and this is one of the things that you do so well at the Institute for Education and Innovation. You put, I said at the beginning, you connect leaders in school districts with the ed tech companies. And you had to send me a note to call, subtitle the show, Helping to Create the Next Generation of Leadership in Pre-K 12. Okay.
Yeah.
And I changed it. I put it down. You're helping to create the next generation of education. Not just leadership, education, because, no, I'm serious, because you just said it, okay? You hope that some companies will not stand for this sort of stuff. We got to make sure that the next generation of education products and education philosophy deals with equity and innovation, not politics, okay?
Yeah.
And that's really what you're doing. You know, and I know you work with the school district leaders. All right. But your work, okay, impacts the entire profession. Obviously, that's what they do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
mean, it's really important. Yeah. It really is. And on that note, okay, I have to ask you, you have this thing. I'm going to go down this list for you. Pardon my long segue there. IEI, Institute for Education Innovation, LEAD. Okay.
Yep.
You're trying to stock, and this word is everywhere these days, the pipeline. You're trying to stock the superintendent pipeline, which is I think small these days, with, I don't know, maybe I'm wrong there, with emerging leaders, okay, in the school district. Talk about that. I'll just focus on that for a few minutes.
This is the highest turnover rate we've ever seen of educators and educational leaders. The vacancy rates of superintendents are higher than ever. The average tenure of a superintendent is not increasing. It's decreasing, and it was already only like 2.5 years. So we're getting worse in that regard.
I thought it was up. I thought it was up the last few years, and then it went down again.
Yeah. And then we're seeing, you know, the average age of retirement's going down. Are retirement by soups and teachers. People are just deciding, you know, the minute they hit that first threshold, they're hanging it up. And we're seeing a declining interest in coming into the profession because, you know, as work from home becomes the way that we work as professionals, more people are saying, you know what, I don't know if I want to put up with all this. And then the RAND study, when I can sit in my house and, you know, do something else in my shorts and polo shirt. On top of that,
how did you know what I was wearing? How did you know what I was wearing?
Me too. The RAND Corporation.
You know me too well. Yeah.
Did this study of superintendents over the last several months and found that, you know, this high rate of many of them are considering retiring early, and the top thing that's making them consider retiring early is all this political stuff that they don't know what to do with. Teachers are saying they don't. So anyway, how do we solve this? We're not going to get the political stuff to stop politicaling. So what we can do is, you know, use our network and our influence, take this amazing group of superintendents, and, you know, we have a bunch of former soups and retired soups in our community now too, and just like flip ourselves into the most active, most prolific network of coaches and mentors that we can be, go and intentionally seek people who we think have the talent and skill and aptitude and, you know, personal makeup to do this job. Go find those people and go kind of help them grow their skill set and their confidence to become the next school principal, so or the next district office person. And, you know, specifically, a lot of folks will end up at district office because they're kind of on a journey somewhere. They get picked to go take a job in an office, or they have a specific skill set. But there are a lot of aspiring superintendent academies out there, including ours. IEI Lead is an aspiring superintendent program. Ours is taught by soups for soups. But we decided to partner with Howard University and Dr. Sean Josephs to build what we think is the first ever credit-bearing aspiring district leader cohort. So this fall in November, we start the coursework. And so we have a track for aspiring soups, but a track for people who say, you know, maybe I'll be a soup someday, but right now I'd like to be a chief academic or a director of student services. And there's like one admin path. And obviously the credits that you earn with IEI Lead are one part of the package. We're an evening executive level course to learn kind of the practical, how it works to be a district administrator from other from soups and other district administrators. It's a community-based learning opportunity. There's a practical research piece, action research piece is part of the credit-bearing piece that you have to do in conjunction with Sean Josephs at Howard. But everybody gets credit coming out of this thing, and it's not particularly expensive, and the relationships that get built will be the underpinning of your career in educational leadership. And the IEI Lead grads that have gone into superintendent jobs, including someone I mentioned earlier, Barbara Mullen, Patricia Royals is starting at Pawtucket, Rhode Island. James Boyd is now running the Kitt Mississippi Delta program. We have these graduates placed in these amazing jobs all over the place. And, you know, those that haven't yet been placed, we're working on it. But part of how we do it is through, you know, part of this program is how to position yourself for the right job, how to find the right job. And then this, you know, when you graduate out of IEI Lead, you become part of the IEI community, the 150 superintendents around the country who've got your back, and we help each other.
They do.
And
professional learning community.
If you're one of those people who can move for a job, if you can relocate, then our network is all over the country, and it's, you know, I don't want to knock any of the headhunters out there, but it could be a great complement or supplement to your superintendent recruiting headhunter who's going to work their sort of more traditional channels. Plus, this is like, hey, my friend in the next county over is thinking about retiring and they're looking for somebody. And that network effect is a big part of how we deliver results for IEI Lead grads. And it's our way to ensure that we have a pipeline of good people moving into educational leadership. You got to go find that teacher and say, listen, I think, and we specifically have to go look for people who don't match the current majority demographic of superintendent, which is middle-aged white guy. We got to go find people who might be younger.
That's right.
We got to make sure we aggressively go find women and people of color.
Diverse.
And say,
yeah, gender and racially. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause people see, you know, if you go to this is not at all a knock. WSA is a great organization. We're happy to be part of what they do, but like just demographically, it's mostly middle-aged white guys. So like if you're looking at that and you're at that event and you're thinking, and you're a young person of color and you're thinking, well, this is what superintendents look like. I don't look like that. We have to go and work against that and say, no, it doesn't matter what you look like. What matters is, do you want to do this work? And here's a whole network of people. IEI Lead is, I'm fairly certain, the most diverse aspiring superintendent program out there, especially in terms of like who are the coaches and mentors. It's a truly, you know, there are people of all different kind of cultures, backgrounds, races, and we've specifically worked to build that coalition. This is a group of people. There's somebody in here that looks like you, regardless of what you look like. And yes, you too can be a superintendent. And we've worked hard at it. And I'm really, you know, we spent a lot of time making sure that the curriculum is right and the coaching and mentorship piece is right. So looking forward to it.
Absolutely excellent. I had to ask, I'm going to ask you this before we switch to another topic.
Yeah.
But regarding REI Lead, okay, was there any talk about looking for school district leaders from outside the profession? All right. I'm curious about that because, you know, I'll just say it this way, as much as I respect the education profession, please don't misunderstand that.
Yeah.
Okay. There are people, okay, who might fit as a leader, if I may. Okay. And with enough people supporting them, understanding education. Okay. Was there any talk at all about that? I'm curious.
Of course. But I wrote an op-ed a bunch of months ago arguing that we should get rid of the admin credential program. Like, it's what is it? What is that credential doing? I mean, if you go, come on, you go talk to people, real talk with superintendents, they're going to tell you that their admin credential was just something they had to do in order to get the job.
Exactly.
And they wanted the job.
Thank you.
So,
thank you.
Like, but until states start kind of, you know, this leadership pipeline crisis might push some states to say,
that's why I brought it up.
Alternative path. Now, here's your challenge. You know, a superintendent has to, we have a couple of people who came not through teaching to superintendent, and it's tough. They have to have a number two who is like a through and through teacher. You've got to be the instructional leader. And if you're not, then the person, your number two has to be super strong and has to be a very credible instructional leader, or else it's going to be very difficult. So
agreed.
But you know, honestly, a lot of superintendents, they were, it's not like they were all math teachers, right? A lot of them, in fact, typically were elective teachers.
The business side is hard.
Teachers.
Okay, the budget side
right.
is hard, et cetera, et cetera. I was a social
right.
studies teacher. I mean, or, you know, yes. Let's just use me. I was a social studies teacher. I had one math course. How would I be at budgeting a 13, the biggest budget for any town? Okay. I would be absolutely horrible.
I'm just saying, like, we shouldn't overstate the importance of teaching experience, but it is important. And it's also really important. If you're going to, you know, it's like, I hate using military stuff, but sometimes it just works. The guy leading the battalion needs to have known what it was like to be in the trenches fighting the war. And that because that builds credibility with the people you're leading. And so it's not that teaching's a war. I hate that. I should not have used military, but you know what I'm saying, right? Like when the superintendent was a third grade teacher or a high school science teacher or a guidance counselor or whatever, or a special ed teacher or whatever he or she was, that helps with the instructional leadership. So, you know, but could we, one of the challenges we have, and I want to reference my good friend Jess Gartner and Gretchen Thompson with Allaview, you know, with the financial stuff, the districts have trouble with transparency around finances, and that's partially because some soups are just not financial people, so they have to trust.
That's right. That's
CFO.
My point.
And right, and like so, we don't require soups to be financial wizards, but we do want them to be instructional leaders, and there probably is some room for us to consider that if somebody has really strong, you know, municipal financial skills, that could be treated at least somewhat on par with instruction as long as
absolutely.
You build a team.
And you said it at the beginning.
But,
you said at the beginning, in this day and age, okay, where the pipeline is so small, and I know you're doing a lot of work to enlarge that,
right.
but the pipeline's small, okay? And
I know, but we
got to look at changes. We got to look at changes, and I just don't want people to have a closed mind. I want to ask you something. I want to swing to another topic, and thank you for all your insights on that. Okay, and I wanted to ask you about this, and two more topics to do, but the one is coming up. Okay, you've got the institute, you've got your institute's equity workshop. You know, we're the Consortium for Equity and Education. Okay, this is coming up next week, August 3rd and 4th in Annapolis. Good town to go
in
during the summer. Okay, fun place. All right,
yeah,
and Talk about that. Let me just say it that way.
So
who do you want to come?
Dr. Mark.
What's it about? That sort of stuff. Go for it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's free for educators. There could be a spot or two for partners if they want to talk to us. Give us a holler at IEILead.com. But so this is an event that was built by, this is something I think we do that's pretty unique. Our members come to us sometimes and say, I've got this idea. And, you know, I come out of the yes and philosophy, which is, you know, something I learned as a kid in, like, you know, my high school improv theater courses. But I said, yes, and what do you want to do? And so Dr. Bedell, who's currently in Annapolis, he was in Kansas City at the time, Dr. Lavelle Brown from Ithaca, and Tracy Davis, former soup from Washoe County, Nevada.
Wait, Lavelle is superintendent of Annapolis now? Did you say
no? Mark Bedell is in Annapolis, in Anne Arundel County.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Lavelle Brown.
I misheard you.
Tracy's out in Nevada. Anyway, they came to me and said, we want to host an Equity Institute where any educator can come, where superintendents can be kind of the instructors, the coaches, the facilitators of the session, and we want to invite everybody all across the country. And I said, great, sounds good. Let's just figure out how to, you know, fund it. Let's make sure we don't lose our shirts on it. And, you know, we do this. We essentially run this as a nonprofit within the IEI business. It's work that we do that's mission-aligned. Mm-hmm. You know, our main business are the three superintendent summits. And so the vendor role here is really as an ally and a listener and a supporter. And but the sessions are very intense. And any educator can sign up to join us. You know, we still have a few spots left. And the different of those three folks I mentioned, Tracy, Mark, and Lavelle, they host it in their city. So last year it was in Ithaca. This year we're in Annapolis, and it's last year someone described it as feeling like church.
Oh.
So I don't know how to.
I assume that's good. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's very reverential.
It felt like secular church. Like it felt like
we're here
to right because
yeah.
in that
it's a Quaker
way that
meeting.
I think people
it's a Quaker type meeting.
Yeah, like that. Right.
There you
people
go.
People were coming together and fired up and moves and telling stories and sharing powerful stories about how they overcame, obstacles to equity on behalf of either themselves or their students. Or it's a place to come and say, I've got this issue in my district and I don't, because it's not all superintendents. Soups are like the speakers, but, you know, you might be a principal and you're mm-hmm. sharing, I'm trying to get my district to this or that and they won't, and can you help me? And It's an event to really just talk through how we build more equity in our public schools, and it's a 2-day, but it's a major networking, major community building. The people who come to this typically come away feeling pretty energized and ready to go and get new ideas.
How many people will be coming? Do you have an idea yet?
It's going to be 80 to 100. We'll see.
That's wonderful.
How it all
that's excellent.
Shakes out.
That's, and I have to ask this just out of curiosity. You're in a great place. The population density around Annapolis is tremendous. Okay, just Baltimore and Washington. Baltimore and Washington is tremendous. Okay, but you got Philly and everywhere else.
Coming regional. Yeah. But there are people coming in from around the country too. Michael Hinojosa, is the keynote from former Dallas Soup. And his message
Texas,
is
right.
always powerful. And,
he's great. He's a good man.
Dr. Gustavo Balderas, who's the president of AASA, he'll be speaking. His story and journey is, you know, the son of migrant farm workers is now the president of our National Superintendent Association.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful?
It's an uplifting time, and I hope people will come join us. We work hard and play hard at that thing.
Right, and just Google IEI's Equity Workshop 2023, okay? So please, you can register there, but it's Institute for
– it's
IEI.com. We'll get you to where you need to go. That's
no, no,
mean.
No. IEIK12.com. IEIK12.com. We'll get you all that info.
I apologize for that.
But it's free.
Are you mixing up your Twitter with your – what do you want?
IEIK12. IEIK12.com. And it's free for educators, so you gotta sign up.
Excellent. Okay. Yeah. I just want to make sure we got the right one in there. Okay. And I'll put it up here as well.
Thank you.
All right. And finally, this is great, Doug. I'm really enjoying this. Let's talk about, and I hate to rush through each thing, but we have a time limit here. The Superintendent of Soups Choice Awards. Okay. Which is nice.
Soup's
nice, good thing and fun to run. Go for it.
Yeah. Soup's Choice was one of the, it's everything about our mission kind of boiled into one small little package. The idea, I started this with the idea that the industry could and should spend more time listening to superintendents. Superintendents understand every aspect of the public school system, from the business stuff, the financial stuff, to what it is to greet a group of students every morning at the door. And for that reason, the idea that, you know, our industry would bypass these folks and say, oh, they don't get technology, was insane to me. And so we started Student Choice once we had enough membership and we had a big enough brand that people would sort of hear about it. We started Student Choice to be the implementation of this idea and vision that superintendents should be among the most trusted voices around what works and does not work in public schools. And so we created a vehicle for any company, whether you're, whether you're pre-angel or raising your Series A, or, you know, owned by private equity and like been around 100 years, whatever size you are, everybody can afford a few hundred bucks to put an application in and get input and feedback from real city superintendents. Like, Soup's Choice is not, it's not the industry giving itself awards, right?
Right.
I don't have anything to do with who gets what award. I'm not involved. I don't find out until I have my tux on in December in New York City and I read the winner. We did decide to have a lot of fun having a gala and selling tickets and having it. You know, anybody can go to soupschoice.com and buy a ticket to come to this thing on December 8th in New York. It's a great time. Maybe Education Talk Radio wants to cover it. We'd love to have you.
Maybe so. Let's talk about that.
Either
not now,
we'll
but
talk,
let's talk
maybe
about it. You and I. Yeah.
Either way,
that might be fun. That might be fun.
It's a fun night. We get student performing groups, and this year we're getting a band because last year everyone started to want to dance, and so we were just like DJing from somebody's iPhone.
Great.
So we got a real band this year. Anyway,
yes, superintendents do dance, ladies and gentlemen. They do dance. Yes.
But Soup's Choice, it's so important, I think, for us to award, particularly the new things that people haven't heard of. It's a level playing field. Every company gets a shot to win in their category. There are a bunch of categories. And we've had the winners have – there was only one repeat winner last year, and everybody else, it's turned over. So we've had companies who came out of nowhere that no one had ever heard of that now have a bunch of work with school districts, like Robin and Scribble and RoboKind and Magma Math. These companies all put themselves on the map by winning this award. And then you have other companies like ClassLink, which got rewarded for just –
I remember.
Being really solid at
Vlada's. Is that Vlada's company? Am I got the right company?
ClassLink is Bear Jackian is the founder.
Okay, right. Got the wrong company. Yeah.
Right, and like Alavine is kind of, you know, on their island with financial stuff because they do it so great. But like, if there's someone else out there, they're going to get a fair shake. But either way, whether you get to, so you get to be there's we're announcing the finalists at EdTech Week in New York in September. So everyone can tune into that. We'll announce it on our YouTube channel and on social and all that. But we'll announce the finalists. So there's at least two finalists in each category. So if you're a finalist, you get a bunch of, you know, great accolades and everyone knows about you. And then there's a winner. So you get to kind of have the Soup's Choice badge on all your marketing stuff. But even if you don't make finalists, you're going to get comments and feedback from a group of five or six superintendents who really care about. We care about our partners. That's sort of our calling card, is that IEI superintendents take a real interest in helping these companies be better at serving kids, because if they're better at serving kids, our members will be better at serving kids. We count on these vendor partners to help us learn and grow and be better, and they're all experts in their field. So, you know, for a few hundred bucks to get, I don't know, maybe I'm crazy, but when I was before I did this stuff, when I was a young pup, I just left teaching and I was in K-12 sales with Amplify, then Wireless Generation.
I would have
done anything to get 5 superintendents to look at my product and give me some feedback on it.
And exactly.
I had a whole job doing that, and now like I've tried to package this into a $500 thing so that every company out there deserves to get access to superintendents, but if you do it, you got to do it the right way, and we have the channel for you. So if you're looking to get superintendents to look at your product, there's no better, no more cost-effective way to do it. Don't go invest in sitting in a booth at some conference. Spend your money on Soup's Choice. Throw in applications for several categories. You will get a look. You will get input. It'll help you grow your business.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. You got a great business here, Doug. And by the way, everybody, Doug grew this. He founded it, and he made this happen. He's got a good team around him, but believe me, he started this whole thing.
Thanks, Doug.
I mean, Doug, we've known each other a long time. You know, the Institute for Education Innovation is what it's called. Okay. Now, let me get the website right. It's IEIK12.com. Okay. We got that. I'm going to put that up here. I didn't know whether I have it right.
And,
okay. I'm going to make sure
we're super active on LinkedIn under Institute for Education Innovation or me, Doug Roberts. You know, you can see all the stuff we're doing up there.
Yeah, it's good stuff. I tell you, it really matters. You're making a difference, my friend. You got to be happy about that. Got to be happy about that.
Thanks.
And good luck.
We work hard.
Yeah, I know you do. And good luck, by the way, with the equity workshop next week. I hope a lot of people show up. Okay, it's important
stuff. Thanks,
Larry.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Have a good rest of the summer. We'll see each other soon. Okay? Thank you.
Be well. All right.
You too.
Bye.
Okay, well, Doug Roberts, everybody. At the Institute for Education Innovation, IEIK12.com. All right, and he's got a ton of stuff going, the Equity Workshop, the IEI Lead, the Superintendent's Choice Awards, good stuff. We'll archive the show at ace-ed.org. You got any comments or questions for me? It's Larry at ace-ed.org. Hey, thanks for listening. Thank you, Doug.